Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabbour.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on guests to tell true, meaty stories from their lives.
And then we use those stories as inspiration for long-form, improvised comedic scenes.
Oh, that's how it works, folks. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/TheMeatImprov, where Jake and I, we have a Discord channel and also bonus episodes called The Potatoes, where we talk about improv if you're interested in that kind of thing. It's on patreon.com/TheMeatImprov. Let's get into the show. Today we have two very special guests. First-timer on the show, stand-up comedian, Twitterer extraordinaire, Pulavi Gunalan.
Hey. When you call me a Twitter extraordinaire, you're just telling them I'm depressed.
That's what you're saying. Well, you're depressed with more followers than I have, so.
Incredible. I can spread the sadness further.
Thanks for coming on. Good to
thanks
have you
for
on
being here.
Thanks for having me.
Our second guest has been on a couple times. You know, from King George and Assembly and all
Queen George.
Two effing high, Queen George. I can't do shit. I shouldn't be doing these intros. I wish we could just have like, I could type all the info into like a website and just spit it out.
I was King George. I wish that was one of my credits. I played King George.
King George.
That would be so much better than a fucking improv team that can't perform anymore.
That's true. I didn't say your name. Dhruv Uday Singh. Welcome back, Dhruv.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. God, it's so nice to be on after a while. Like, I mean, I've done this like three times, I think. It's always been in person at one of your guys' spots, and it's so different.
Can you describe their homes to me so I feel like I'm doing it live with them?
Through? Please.
I mean, it's a different place than either of you are at right now, I believe. Right?
Just like their general like aesthetic, like is there a pile of dirty laundry? Like what, like, you know, how single male improviser is it?
When I was at Jake's place, I believe you had a very egg carton chic aesthetic going on because there were a lot of egg carton soundboards set up everywhere so that neighbors wouldn't complain about your improv
practices.
We
love a green king. We love it.
Yes.
That's and Dhruv, you were at my second to last apartment, so two apartments ago. That's what you're at. But go ahead. I just wanted
to... nice, very, I don't know, the aesthetic of it. I don't know how to describe it. Very, very cozy, very welcoming.
Oh, thank you.
In both, so like, both cases, for both you guys. You know, yeah.
So, like, you get in there, they offer you water or, like, tea or something. They sit you down, you feel very comfortable. Are there plants? Like, I see some plants, guys.
Jake's got some plants.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a plant right here.
Those are new. Nice. Those were not they here when I was having live humans over. But now I have four plants.
Cool.
Yeah, got a
lawn. I might get some plants.
I think a lot of people are getting plants now.
I mean, what the fuck else are we doing?
I don't know.
I literally just last week, I don't think I've talked about it on here before, but I fulfilled a lifelong dream for my dog, and I got him a little bitty lawn.
I'd done that for my dog before, too.
Really?
It's really refreshing. You like step. I like to use it to just step in, and then you can let them pee in it.
Or the reverse, or, you know, it's just a cycle.
What do you mean got him? Like out, just outside?
So we have a little patch of dirt, basically. There's like a tree on one side and like a... I guess a succulent on the other side. And then there's probably like a 10 foot long and at its widest, like a 5 foot wide patch of dirt. So I just basically like raked it out, got all the, like the big stuff out of there, put topsoil down and then put sod on top of that.
Oh, they have like companies that sell you patches of lawn for indoor, like for dogs who like want to use that to pee indoors. That's what I got from my dog.
I'm not quite there yet, but that's interesting.
Yeah, so they go bad grass? And like it's real grass, and they go bad in like 2 weeks, and it's incredibly expensive. And I immediately stopped after like two. I was I was trying to train him, and then I was like, "No, I'm just gonna let him pee. It's like, this is too expensive."
So you basically just bought sod and put it in your apartment.
It's yeah, it's like a little cardboard thing of lawn, and it's like cute. I don't know.
I'm having trouble with mine. I know lawn talk isn't what everyone wanted to do here, but I'm watering it. It's not quite taking. I can still pull the grass and like pull it all up. I've only had it for like 9 days, but. If any of the listeners out there have any sod advice or ways I can get it to really start taking or whatever, you just, you know, hit me up. what have you been, have any of you picked up new stuff like that to like try to pass the time? I mean, Drew, you said you were working again, but before that, was there anything?
Yeah, that's literally just as of last week, so not very long. And it feels weird to be back in the outside world. I started playing tabla for a bit, or learning tabla, which are these like Indian hand drums. And it's, I could not have picked a more challenging instrument to try to master in 4 or 5 months. Like, it is so, it's apparently because it's like, it's, you know, it's an 800, 900 year old instrument. It's like the roots are in classical rhythms, which you have to learn. I was like, great, I'll just learn to play a couple like cool hip hoppy beats, and I could just, you know, I could be that guy who can just freestyle over my own little tabla beats or something. That'll be cool.
But you first start bringing them to parties and stuff. You're gonna be that version, but for love, like the white guy with the guitar, but the Indian
exactly.
Dude.
Exactly. with a heavy backpack.
I just happen to have them. If anybody wants to jam, I don't
know. I'd be there. That'd with be my the guitar. Plan. Like, all right, let's do it, Drew. So, yeah, what is it? What? Go ahead. I was going to ask, like, is it one drum? Is it like two? Is it, or how?
No,
like,
it's two. I could show you guys, but I guess it doesn't matter for your listeners. Yeah. But they're two, you know, you typically sit on the floor and do them, or you can put a stand on them if you need, but they're two small, not small, but they're two kind of hand drums that you play with. But
average sized.
Average size one. one's a lot bigger. They're using the bass rhythms, and the right's where you play kind of the more trebly things, but they have a ton of shells on them with different syllables. So apparently the tabla has like 16 unique syllables, unlike drums. Depending on how you hit them, you can produce 16 separate sounds. So the infinite variation is great, but it's so hard to actually master playing it well. You know what I mean? That's just been taking me fucking forever, and I kind of half gave up on it like maybe a month and a half ago, and I need to pick back up on it.
Do you have neighbors or anything like that?
I do, but actually it works out. It's not as bad as full-on drums, because you can modulate the rhythm or the volume a lot more depending on how hard you strike it. So you can practice it without playing it super loud, or you can go louder if you need. So it's pretty good. Yeah.
That's a good habit.
What about you guys?
Stick with it.
Do you have like hand chalk or something? Are you like oiling up those mitts every night, like prepping?
You can just use like talcum powder and like throw it on, or like baby powder or whatever, a little before.
No, I said for the drums, not for.
Yeah, for my body. the drums. Yeah, that's about it. I don't know. What are you guys doing? Anything? Any fun hobbies besides lawns?
Yeah, my hobbies are lawns.
I've been doing like a lot of volunteer work, so it's been like just filling my time with that. I'm volunteer engineering, building a ventilator. I'm like now executive director of a nonprofit.
Wow! Like,
building an open source ventilator. Fully featured ventilator for like developing countries and stuff. I don't know how that happened. I quit my PhD in December. So my dad is like, she's back at it. And I'm like, slow down.
In my defense, I don't know how to do that. I was going to feel bad, but I don't know how to do that.
I was going to feel bad, but I'm not going to do anything.
like a ventilator COVID? Like
it started. So there was this like Slack group of like 15,000 engineers called Helpful Engineers and Scientists and stuff. And they had like all these projects that were like sparked off from that group that were like, get, you know, distribute PPE to build a better mask and all of this stuff for the pandemic. And there's like a bunch of ventilator groups or like ventilator adjacent groups. And so I got like recruited from that group into Respira Works, which is the ventilator group that I'm in now. And then it's just all volunteers. So it's like however much time you can contribute. So because I was like consistent, I kind of am like now one of the leads. Or
whoa.
But we have partners in India who are like helping us manufacture. We like do the design and then they like manufacture it. And we're like, I had an investor meeting earlier today. I like did an audition and then I had an investor meeting and I was like, guys, I got to go do this podcast. So we got to wrap it up here.
Thank you for not letting that interfere with our podcast.
Never.
Yeah. You tell him.
I need the attention. I'm like, the only way this is going to work is if I get validation in some other way.
I mean,
that's amazing.
That's great.
I remember.
Yeah, you're really putting.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Drew.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to kind of go off on a tangent that was dumb.
Great. Go for it.
when they were like doing all those ventilators, the like Dyson guy like stepped up. Who does like the vacuums and that like super fast hand dryer or whatever. And I always thought that guy was like kind of a douche because his commercials were like, he was just being like so highfalutin about vacuums. Like he was like, our vacuums suck more than other vacuums. Like, and it was like him just in an empty room sort of like talking about like how he wanted to build a better vacuum or whatever. And I was like, fuck this guy. And then COVID came along and it was like, oh, it's good that we had a guy who was so invested in like the movement of air and like how to circulate it.
We get like a lot of our parts from like refrigeration and automotive companies and stuff. Like, so it's like, it's weird. Like the hardware that you use, it just like comes from all different places.
Yeah.
But yeah, nerds are fucking nerds about everything, including vacuums. I remember I saw like some kid on Oprah or Ellen who was like obsessed with vacuums and got famous that way. And I'm like, what are we doing wrong, guys? What do I need to memorize to get on Ellen? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah,
lightning in a bottle, I guess. Jake, what about you? Any?
Well, I'm helping someone out. They wanted to shoot something like a little sketch thing. So I'm like diving in head first with no experience. I got a little camera and we got a couple of like lapel mics. And since I've been paying that fucking Adobe $20 a month thing, I'm getting to use their Photoshop. And really, I don't know if this is going to be a hobby. It is. I had like no, the learning curve is steep on this one, but I did manage to like sync up the audio that we recorded independently with the video. And I was like, okay, progress. So that's where I'm at. That's my hobby right
now. I love that, man. I feel like that's how the learning curve is steep, but I feel like there's as someone who's a real like tech nerd and especially editing and all that shit, like there's a momentum that picks up after which point it starts to become, you start to learn so much quicker. Like it's steep for a second, then there's somehow like a real, I don't know, I feel like once you start doing it even a little bit, you start getting so good way quicker than you would other hobbies or other
things. Oh, that's very comforting to hear. Because right now, I was like, I sent her a screenshot of what I've been working on for like 2.5 hours or whatever. And she's like, okay, and then it's going to look different, right? And I was like, yeah, it'll look better somehow. but notice that so your lips move at the same time as the sound does.
She's like, this is a screenshot, dude.
So much of that is like just having the energy to Google it.
Yeah.
Like I feel like even for the professionals sometimes, so like I went to school technically to like learned how to use editing software, but it's also, there was such a gap between when I learned and like where stuff is at now that I know the basics, but I still have to like relearn it. So I think like so much of learning is just like I'll put in the time and figure this out rather than depending on someone
else. Luckily, there's like a million like YouTube tutorials for everything now that you can just like, if you don't know one little task in it, you just hit like, put it on YouTube and it's, you immediately know how to solve it in like a minute. And
now the one I looked at yesterday took me to the part in the YouTube video that I was looking for. Like it was like a 16 minute tutorial, but it like dropped me in at 9 minutes because I was like looking for something specific and I was like, holy shit. Now I don't even have to like scroll through it. And talk about saints, the people who just like put that up online, who are like, here's how you like set your digital camera so it doesn't have all the like basic settings on it. And it's like, thank you, Daryl.
I had to like change out the fan in our freezer. And I was like, I don't know how to fucking do this. I've never done this before. And I had to like look up those YouTube videos. And it's all like middle-aged white guys who just have like a Bob Ross demeanor. Like it's so calming. I was like watching them for too long. I was like, I just want to watch refrigeration repair videos and fall asleep at night.
Hello. Hey, this is this A1 refrigeration repair?
Yeah, this is A1 refrigeration repair. How may I help you?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I got your info from Yelp. Listen, I'm just going to square with you. Actually, my refrigerator's totally fine. My refrigerator's running. that'll go. Man, I'm having a real stressful week. Would you mind coming over and just kind of showing me a little refrigeration repair, just doing it for a little while so I can just kind of chill out a bit and, you know, get some sleep?
I'm sorry. You said your refrigerator is fine, but you still want us to repair it?
Yeah. Not, you know, if you don't repair it, that's fine. You could even just kind of walk me through the steps or whatever. Just send over one of your best kind of Bob Ross employee vibe guys. And
You mean Frank? Yeah, we got Frank. You know what? He'll come right over. He's really good at this sort of thing. Do you have any? We're gonna need a little information from you for technical reasons.
Sure.
Do you have any sleep issues?
Yeah, I'm going through a breakup right now, and I'm having a little high anxiety. I just lost my job. Just a lot going on in my life, so. A lot of sleep issues.
Oh, that's rough. Okay, noting that down for good old Frank. You know, he's got you covered. He's been in the refrigeration, industry for 20 years. So he's a good people person, you know.
We cut to Frank talking to his boss. So I really just want to emphasize that I'd love it if this was a real repair this time. I'm feeling a little bit like the company's just using me to sort of, I don't know what you're using me for, but I don't feel like I'm doing my work. I feel like I'm just putting people to sleep. I'm just more of like a comfort. Excuse me. Are you sleeping right now?
No, Frank.
Trying to file a complaint.
Okay. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
You don't want
to
sleep that way either. You're going to get a crick in your neck.
Sometimes, you know, I'm just old. It just happens. Yeah, I just fall asleep on the spot. But I'll talk to HR about me. Listen, we got to send you out to this guy, though. You know, he's having a hard time. He's lost his job. He went through a breakup.
I'll do it, but my passion is refrigerators, and I like to be helpful, but I feel like I'm turning into more of a therapist than a repairman.
Frank, I would not send you out.
We cut to the house. Knock, knock.
A squirrel falls asleep and falls out of a tree.
Oh, dear. I might have to administer CPR to this squirrel. Hopefully. Okay, there it is. Okay, it's just sleeping. Oh. Hi, my name's Frank. I'm here about a refrigerator.
Oh, yeah. Come on in, Frank. Oh, man. Sorry, the place is a mess. It's just, you know, gone through a lot right now.
No problem. My GoPro on my forehead is on, just so I can document what happens here and so I can learn from whatever happens here. So you're having problems with...
Sorry, can you... I'm sorry. Can you not talk about the process of how you work before we started? Because I want to get comfortable first and get under a blanket and, you know, put a candle on. But sorry, okay. Go ahead.
Well, you have to get under a blanket and put a candle on. I'm here for the fridge. What, you have a problem with your fridge? And I understand a breakup as well. Oh, God. Why? What are you doing, Frank? I guess.
Frank, have you?
Why am I here?
I mean, you have a, you know, a very, very soothing demeanor whenever you start talking about your work process or any process at all, for that matter.
That's just part of it. No one wants someone barging into their house and tinkering around in their fridge without kind of making everyone comfortable. So let's actually do it. Okay. All right. Your blanket's okay. Fine. Sometimes people just, whatever you need to be comfortable. I don't want anything. So tell me, a frigid air, huh? So where is the problem coming from? Too hot, too cold? Is there an issue with the fan? Hello? Stu? Is it Stu? 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 Stu! Wake up! Oh, God, he's fallen asleep.
We cut right. to Frank's. We cut to Frank's home later that evening. Honey, I'm sorry. It was another stressful day. You know what? Why don't we chill a little bit? Why don't I help you relax, big boy? Take those buttons off.
Okay. Ooh. Not what I thought was okay, going to happen, but you know what? Actually, this Frank, might be good.
Yeah, it will. When you dirty talk me, tell me what you're going to do to me.
Okay, I'll dirty talk you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to remove my flannel shirt. One button. Sweetheart? Sweetheart? You know what? This is my life. I don't even get to have sex
God
with my sweet wife.
If you're going to talk quiet, close the window. Your neighbor over here, my wife and I were about to get hot and heavy, and she just conked out on me.
Listen, I don't want... Please don't raise your voice at me, okay? I had a rough day.
No.
Not repairing refrigerators.
Stop.
Hey, do you want to talk man-to-man right now, perhaps?
He falls asleep and falls out of his window.
Oh, my God. 911?
Hello, 911, what's your emergency?
Hi. I have had an issue. I'm in Northeast Los Angeles. Hello? I'd like to report an emergency. Someone fell off a balcony. Hello? Hello? Hello?
We see this is on the screen for a YouTube video. It's all been recorded from his GoPro on his head.
All the comments underneath are like starting to say things and then just like a trail off into Z's.
Great. So now we're going to get into the meat part of the podcast. This is where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Pallavi, you're up first. What would you like to talk about?
Okay. First of all, I want to tell everyone, my vagina's fine now, okay? I just want everyone to know this, starting off. I can fuck, okay? It's great. It's fun. Everything's good, guys. I'm good. I'm tight, 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 okay? But I have a fainting disorder called vasovagal syncope. Huh. And I have like low blood pressure and a fainting disorder. And when I was a kid or when I was younger and when a teen, first of all, Indian people never tell you how to use a tampon. So I had to learn from friends because Indian people feel like that's you losing your virginity if you use a tampon. So I tried to use a tampon when I first got my period and I almost passed out. And it was like really, really painful and really like hard for me to be able to use them. So I didn't really like use them in my teen years until after I lost my virginity, which is what the story is about. I lost my virginity to a man we don't need to talk about. And but it took several tries because I had this condition. So like every time we tried, I almost passed out and I would be like, stop. I'm like, this might end up not being consensual, but accidentally, you know, so it took us like several tries. And then finally it happened. And boy, was it mediocre. And then it was like 2 a.m. or something. And I was in college because I'm very cool and lost my virginity super at almost 21. And it was like 2 a.m. And then he like comes and is done because that's when sex ends, is when the man comes. And then he pulls out and then he was like, oh no. And I was like, what? And he was like, the condom rolled down. And I was like, no! Like as soon, like the first time I have sex and I'm freaking the fuck out, I'm not on birth control yet. And it was like 2 a.m. and I was like, I was pacing in his dorm room and I was like, I can't be a single mother. And he was like, what do you mean single? And I was like, this isn't going to last. I was like, I had no faith in that relationship. But then I had to wait for like 3 hours or 4 hours until the health center opened to go get a plan B. And I go in there and it was like this old like nurse lady. I was like, I need the plan B. And they were like, what? And it was that whole thing of like being embarrassed and everything. And then I went to the back and there was this like old nurse lady and she like didn't like, I don't know. It was just so hard to talk to her. And she seemed like very like annoyed by me or whatever. And then I was like, yeah, I need it. And she was like, you're not on birth control. And I was like, no. And she was like, how long have you been sexually active? And I had to look at my watch to get it. But I got my plan B and I didn't get pregnant. And my vagina works, everybody. It's fine. Okay. And now I use tampons on the reg. Okay, everybody.
I was wondering. I'm at peace now.
Good. I hope that's the title of this episode.
What, I'm at peace? Or
all of these vagina is fine, all caps.
If you want it to be.
It'll be the second episode we titled that, but that's fine.
What do you mean rolled down? Like fell off? They said the condom
like rolled down. So then like stuff leaked. It like, do you know what I mean? Like it almost halfway. Never. Not, do you guys all fit perfectly?
I was just wondering, like,
good with you all the time.
When I think rolled down, I think like further.
What is
on,
the down and which up? Seems what, like, what direction are we? Yeah.
Well, it depends on the time of sex, right? but it's like it almost like came off his
got
penis.
It. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. yes, of course. I'm familiar. this is all familiar.
Super aware.
That's a tough one.
I know. I wanted to do this story because I knew it'd be weird to do.
No.
It'd have to be creative.
I'm not saying the story is tough. I mean, like, it's tough. It's. I feel like when you're young having sex, like when you're first doing it, is when like a condom it might as well be like some sort of gizmo or some, like, I don't know. That's not quite right, but like the shit is the hardest to do when you're first trying to do it. You know. So like,
yeah,
like you have like those scary run-ins or like, oh God, we didn't put the condom in right. Or like, oh Jesus, that fucking went wrong. Like in the beginning.
It's like video editing in that way.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to get the image and the audio synced up my first time.
But then you were coasting. Then it was like.
Yeah, then it was good. I sent a screenshot to a friend, you know. She asked if it would look better later.
Did you have to do anything to like make it so like. So you said the first few times you tried, you like almost fainted. Was there a trick? Yeah. Like, was it like not coming? Like the old classic trying to you think about baseball or something?
Yeah, I thought of my grandmother. No. Maybe what if that was like a secret that all women use to last longer? What if like this whole time we've been like, okay, everybody think about your grandparents. Don't tell the boys. Don't tell them. They think it takes longer for us to come. It was literally just go faster because your vagina will adjust. So it was like the fact that I was like hesitant and scared was making it worse. So it was like, just fucking do it. And then that it got better.
Run at the wave a bit.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Jake?
Anyone else? Yeah, do you have anybody want to ask about my vagina? Anybody?
Do you think it was just the shock to the system of a tampon? Like,
oh no. So the syncope thing, it's like, it can be pain induced, but I already have like such low blood pressure that like when my blood pressure drops again from something that's like pain induced, it like the walls of your heart like touch each other because it's empty, but then it thinks that it's higher blood pressure. It thinks that's blood, and then it drops it again, and then you like pass the fuck out. Oh. So like if I used to like hit my elbow really hard and pass out, I couldn't donate blood for a while, but then you like figure out like, oh, I have to like have electrolytes and like do these things and like calm myself down because you get like overheated and all this like crazy stuff. Like I donated blood in high school and I like passed out and had tetany, where like your body shakes. It's not an epileptic thing. It's just your body shaking. And three dudes had to hold me down and pull the needle out. And then I was like, it took me like a day to recover because it's like your body's in shock and stuff. Now it's like way better because I have like a handle on it and I like know how to take care of myself and stuff. But yeah, it was just like, you know, when you first put a tampon or a penis in, it hurts sometimes. So that's how it is.
I believe it. Have you given blood since? You made it sound like.
Yeah, I like. I feel like that would be it.
Sorry,
no,
go ahead.
I haven't donated blood. Like, I can't donate, but I like to get blood checks and stuff. I can do it. I have to be like, hey, I might pass out. And then they like lower me down in the chair and like give me extra time and bring me cookies.
So do you give that same sort of heads up before getting intimate? Are you like,
no,
we should pick up some cookies on the way or anything?
Jake, did you not hear the moral?
That I did. Yeah, what the fuck? What is the title of this episode? That I do. I get the cookies just for the depression.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you all get cookies? Nobody, your partners don't give you cookies?
I will share mine.
That was the protection for yourself. From your feelings.
I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that. This has been enlightening, and I'm glad.
That's because you were my improv teacher, Josh. I wasn't going to come in and be like, I have something for the warm-up.
All right, everyone. We call this emergency meeting of the UN Security Council because, as you all know, there's an imminent threat of attack from North Korea. Mm-hmm. It's up to us, the world's leaders, the world's vanguards, to make sure that we could disintegrate this threat, because we have probably less than 45 minutes before a nuclear explosion might ruin literally all of the planet. Mm-hmm. So before we get started with some of the emergency security measures, of course, I want to remind you all, my vagina works, my vagina works, my vagina works. It works good. It works good, baby. That's a good, nice, functional vagaroony. All right. How do we take down this threat before Code Red is issued?
Well, I got a couple ideas, General. the first one is we should probably talk to some of our colonels in the region. They're talking our aircraft carriers, get some, see if we can shoot the missiles out of the sky. Before I go any further, my balls aren't weird, and they don't tie themselves in knots. If I run too fast, they don't plop right in the toilet water when I'm going number two. They're not too long or too short. They're perfect size for balls. The colonels in the area on the aircraft carriers, they should have a better idea of how real this threat is, and maybe even how we might disarm the nukes headed to us.
Right. I will issue a orange protocol right now to all those colonels.
May I interject? I would just like to say that I feel like we should use the drone system that we've developed. I feel like the technology is there. I feel like we are able to efficiently target and deploy the missiles that we require for these types of missions. I think that this would be a great guinea pig test of a mission. And I just want to say, my tits are great, okay? Frankly, they are very even. There's no unevenness in them, and they're very perky. They may not be, people wouldn't perhaps describe them as juicy, but that's neither here nor there. They are luscious, and I refuse to hear slander about them. And I just really think that this would be a great opportunity for a corporation to kind of co-sponsor our mission in getting these drones on the ground or in the
air. Right. I'll get that out there. We'll issue a purple vector strike with drones right now.
Great.
Sounds good.
Colonel bursts through the door. We've got an emergency. I don't know what has been happening, but I need to get you all up to speed. It turns out that my taint is not as thick as I thought. I have a very thin taint.
Everyone's taint.
Oh, no!
All right, let's table the security thing.
We see a PowerPoint presentation of like a just zoomed in on a taint against one wall of this room.
We see a newspaper fly on a stand of newspapers, and it's the picture with the Osama bin Laden conference room picture, but it's just everyone looking at his taint.
Oh my God.
We zoom into the picture of the taint, and it really is just like a wafer thin taint. There's almost like no thickness at all, but we in the balls and the asshole. Just like
I only say cheeks and thighs and balls and hole. What is that?
Frankly, I don't know how we're going to recover from this. We were the strongest military in the nation, and look at us now.
My God, we're getting a call in from Kim Jong-un.
Jesus. All right, everybody, be on your best behavior. Jenkins, act like your taint is not wafer thin.
You got it.
Hello, America.
Yes.
It's me. Now, as you know, I was planning to issue a strike that would destroy all of mankind in a second, including all of your military protocols.
Quit struggling on that stool, Jenkins.
What's happening? What's happening over there?
Nothing.
Nothing's happening. We're listening. We're listening to you.
Why is that man so slippery on his stool? You'd think there'd be enough surface area between his balls and his cheeks to hold him up correctly.
We assure you there is.
Yeah, he's on to us.
There certainly is. There certainly is. Must be something wrong with this stool.
We see my character's balls fall out of his shorts and get caught in his rotating chair.
Oh my God.
You idiot. What are you doing? Oh no, my buttons popped. Oh, pull back in. They're dragging.
Oh my God. They're dragging.
Those aren't perky at all.
Oh my God, and why is that general flashing her unfunctioning vagina? Oh. All right. That's it. I'm calling off this strike. I can't strike a group of people with such strange genitalia. Code orange, code red.
Kim Jong-un hangs up the phone and shits his pants. God, what a fucking nightmare. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to be... The zombies are outside the fucking house. I'm going to have to deal with these guys alone eventually once you get killed off immediately by them.
What do you mean when I get killed off? I'm here.
I mean, yeah, right now you're here, but I think it's only a matter of time before like a soccer ball bounces into the street and you go chase after it and get eaten by the zombies or eating their favorite thing, raw meat or something. I don't know what you're gonna do, but I know that I'm just being honest with you. I'm trying to actually plan for my future. You're gonna get absolutely destroyed in this scenario.
Wait, you're just assuming that I'm gonna chase a soccer ball into the street and get eaten by zombies? I'm not an idiot, okay? I look at the windows. I boarded up the windows, didn't I? I did that, right? That's smart.
Yeah, but you did that weeks ago because you were afraid of birds.
Yeah, because they're terrifying.
I okay, you know what? I'm not. Let's plan as though we are going to. We're in this together. Let's plan in that way. Okay. I'm going to pack a bag, a go bag, because I think probably what's going to have to happen is at some point we're going to have to get in the car and drive. So I would maybe suggest you do the same. Pack some clothes,
okay, what do you,
essentials.
Okay, what about like my book? Should I pack my manuscript? Do you think that'll, I mean.
That's just a collect, you're just grabbing at a notebook pages. But yeah, I mean, if it's important to you, put it in there. But I would say like clothes. Do you have any? Jesus. Okay, let's go a little quicker here.
Okay.
Don't be too precious.
Okay, fine. I'm taking. We're gonna need fire, right? I'll bring fire. I'm gonna take the things off the stove.
Come on. I don't need the.
What?
It's oatmeal from yesterday. No, just fire comes from sticks and stuff. Okay, here. Okay, I got my suitcase packed. I've got a toothbrush. I've got deodorant. That's just to be considerate.
Okay, fine. I'll put soap in.
That's actually not terrible. I got a kitchen knife.
I love you, babe.
I love you too. Guys, they said not to marry for looks. okay. All right. So see, our Jeep Wrangler is out there on the driveway. What I'm going to do, I got these fireworks from the 4th of July. I'm going to light these and I'm going to throw them sort of on the side of the yard. Okay. Once I do that.
Do you want me to go get them?
Once I throw them?
Yeah. Did you want me to go get them?
No, I want to throw them. It's a diversion.
I thought fire sticks. I thought we were supposed to get the fire sticks.
I'm not worried about the fire yet. It's summertime, okay? We're going to be warm. I have gas in the car. We'll figure out a fire. If the diversion I make for the zombies works on you, we're fucked from the get-go. You understand? I'm making a diversion.
Okay, fine. Okay. I'm sorry. But, okay, you're going to throw them, and then we're going to get in the Jeep Wrangler.
You got it. All right. Opens the door a little bit. Lights some black cat fireworks. Go.
Oh my God, it's so pretty though.
They're black cat fireworks. They just pop. They don't even make. What do you mean it's pretty? Get in.
We see. In. Okay, we see one of the zombies kick a soccer ball into the street.
Oh shit, my favorite soccer ball.
No. Dad, no. Okay. She's in the street playing. Don't play the zombie in soccer. Don't.
Babe, I think this is how we defeat him.
She's trying to pull the shirt off one of the zombies.
I don't get that. Are you playing Shirts and Skins? What are you doing to this?
Yeah, babe, how else are you supposed to tell the difference between me and them?
You're just playing soccer. You're kicking the ball into the zombie's feet, but it doesn't get it. Get in the car.
Okay. Fine. Okay.
Opens the door. Come on.
All right. But can we take Fred?
You named him?
Yeah. I don't know. He looks like a Fred to me.
I don't want to take a zombie with us. Do you get what I'm saying here?
All right, guys. See you next week. Same time.
Gets in the car.
Yeah.
You actually made friends with that. That zombie waved back to you.
Yeah, man. I told you I have skills for the apocalypse. I'm charming and beautiful.
Her phone dings. It's a little gif from Fred of Baby Yoda, and it says, "Miss you already."
Aw, Fred. He's so sweet. Hey, you should add him on Instagram.
Add him on. I feel
he's trying to up his social media following.
I don't want to follow Fred on Instagram.
Hey, but it's so cool. He does these skate videos.
What? You knew him before we got out. I don't want to follow zombies on Instagram. Okay, I want to get away from them. I want to get to safety. You're social networking with these creatures.
Okay, whoa. It's not us versus them, okay?
I feel like it really is.
Listen, they have urges, they have needs. We all have different things we have to fulfill for our own happiness, okay? I'm just trying to support my friends, man. Fred's trying to make it.
I think
we've got to a fancy like Hollywood studio meeting room on the Paramount lot. Come on in. Come on in, Fred. I hope you got a bottle of water, got your parking validated. Listen, we're all excited. We love your follower counts right now, buddy. Love it.
He kind of reaches for the Hollywood agent's like head.
No.
He slides his parking pass across the table.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that there you go, buddy. So let's talk about your future. We want to you know, take advantage of all this heat you're getting right now. Great skate videos. love the impressions. Love all the bits you're doing. You know, we're looking for the next great sort of influencer superstar to be on our screens. What's your vision?
Rom-com.
We cut to a TV again. Extra, extra. The movie superstar Fred has a new movie coming out.
Oh, we love Fred.
With Kate Hudson. We do.
He's been having hit after hit. It's frankly Fred Summer.
It is Fred Summer. And we were able to catch up with him on the red carpet for Well, You Were Sleeping Too.
Fred, cut to the red carpet. Fred, who are you wearing?
Linda.
Ooh, Linda, a new designer. We see that
Fred's body is covered with the entrails and blood of a person named Linda.
Okay,
I think magnificent. You know, Lady Gaga has nothing on you.
He's turning for different shots.
This thing's stepping in deep.
Fred, is there a Mrs. Fred in the picture?
Uncoupled.
Ooh, you heard it here, ladies. Fred is single and ready to mingle.
We'll go back to extra, but we hear that Fred's been a new woman in his life.
We got the footage of Fred just chomping on the body of somebody in an alley.
How romantic.
We can't confirm. But we think that's Dakota Fanning.
Oh my goodness, Dakota Fanning.
That's not our place to confirm or deny, but they were seen in an alley with Dakota getting her brains chopped up. Oh, well, Jake, thank you so much for, it's so nice to meet you and your new partner. Mm-hmm. Linda and I have been kind of waiting for this day. We've been waiting to go on double dates and all that kind of stuff. I'm curious. I asked you how long you've been together and you checked your watch. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't really remember if it was before I got on the bus or after I got on the bus.
Hey, but it was before you got on the bus.
That's right.
Remember, we were waiting at the bus stop together. He always does this.
I mean, so you just met today? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's today. Okay. Because you also have been saying a lot of stuff like, he always does this. You have multiple inside jokes. You complained about his snoring, which we related to because I was his roommate in college.
This guy on the bus, always snoring. He always falls asleep. It's so loud and embarrassing.
See, that's the thing that was confusing, I guess, for the date so far. You know, you guys use the word always a lot. That's how it's, you met minutes ago, literally.
Well, it's because she always has to get up early for work. And so when I fall asleep before her snoring, she can't get any sleep.
Okay, I don't know how you know that.
I'm always so grumpy the next day.
But how do you know that?
Well, she has a...
you haven't even mentioned what she does for work.
She has an OnlyFans account.
Yeah, I need to get the... I need to get the good sun in the morning. Babe knows that. Babe's always trying to make it easier.
It's true. I'm very supportive. I've been known to be a jealous boyfriend in the past. And did I have a skirmish with one of her followers? Yes, I did. But we resolved it.
It's been a long time since then. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we've grown. And he never does that anymore. Yeah. He never gets jealous anymore.
Is that when you were yelling in the parking lot? That was a skirmish with one of...
Yes. Yeah. But then she suggested that maybe I was being closed-minded and not progressive enough, so we opened up our relationship to a third.
And there comes the waiter now. Oh, there she is. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Hannah.
So good to see you.
Hi, guys. Oh,
God.
This has been the most like exciting and like dynamic and life-changing 12 minutes in my whole life, mm-hmm. you know, where I've like expanded my boundaries.
Ugh. What happened? I was
Hannah,
here.
We just, Hannah, we love that, like, you're part of this thruffle. Like, you know, like, even we may have had a history before you, but it doesn't change how much you are a part of us. Like, this is all of us together.
Hannah, tell your father next time he takes me hunting, I promise I'm going to get a bird.
I don't get it. I was here when you met. We haven't gotten up from the table. Hannah came over, offered us waters and said like, oh, my brain doesn't work quite right. It's a Tuesday. And oh, you made fun of that joke. And I have been sat here with you two.
You remember how we met. That's so cute.
Oh my God.
Guys, it's you know, we've been together a long time, Josh and I. We've been together like, what, 6 years, six and a half years now, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's weird because you guys don't have any inside jokes.
Yeah, we do.
What do you mean? I have a lot of jokes with what's his name.
Excuse me, did you say what's his name?
Yeah, what is it again? Josh.
Josh. Right. I know. I know about her too.
What do you guys do for work? How do you support each other career-wise?
Well, for me, I know what I do. Of course, I'm a...
Same, I know what I do. I have an OnlyFans.
Oh my gosh!
Pharmacist. You have an OnlyFans? This is going to be an issue for me.
What?
That's the website where you show... Where people pay to see your pictures of you, right? I mean, I'm trying to be sex work positive, but... I thought you were a school teacher.
Wait a minute. You guys have been together 6 years and you didn't even know what each other did?
We don't need to get our relationships beyond that.
We can recommend you a couples counselor who is phenomenal.
Yes.
You guys have a couples counselor.
Oh my gosh. My mother encouraged us to do it and he didn't want to. And I was like, babe, we got to try.
And then when her mother passed away, I said, you know what? I'm going to, as her dying wish, I'm going to go to couples counseling.
And, you know, we've never been better. And we just, you know, every time it's a way to carry on.
Your mom died today?
Yeah, after the bus.
I mean, I'm sure you've been there for each other when your parents have been going through things.
Yeah, through tragic events. And
What do you mean going through things? You're on a double date minutes after you heard the news. That's not going through. You guys aren't even grieving this.
Oh, my.
Who's that?
Oh, sorry. It's me.
She took a sabbatical from work. I don't know what else you want from her. And I was up all night.
what
stressed night? Out writing a memoir about what it's like to be with somebody when their mother dies.
We spread her ashes in the river, you know.
We see a little boy enters. Mommy, daddy, I want to go.
Baby. Hi, sweetie.
He's very premature.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story. Dhruv, you're up.
Yeah.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been on your guys' show like three times, I think, and so I hope I'm not running the world.
Running you dry?
No, it's great. I love doing it. But Pallavi told a story about, you know, a formative time, losing your virginity. And mine's about getting like a little bit high for the first time. So I grew up in India, and, you know, one thing that we started doing when I was like 14 or 15, was go to like hookah bars. Like hookah bars at the top of these, you know, there's a whole court, there's a part of Bombay where they have these. Bombay's a very high rise city, to paint a picture of it, so it's all you know, tall buildings with elevators, and which plays into the story. And there was this rooftop bar called Koila, where I hung out with these. I had this little group of friends, two of whom I'm still really close with, but there were four of us. And just like any idiot teenage boys, we had a nickname for ourselves, but it was the least cool nickname you could possibly have. We called ourselves the Golden Quadrilateral.
The Golden Quadrilateral?
Yeah, for no what? Good reason. I couldn't tell you why. But so we were at Koila, this rooftop bar, and we were doing some hookah, and then this other friend we were with had a joint and was like, "You guys want to hit this?" And so we all got a tiny amount high, you know, like, can we handle this? We didn't know how we'd react to it, and we all seemed okay. Immediately I was like very high, but this one friend of mine in the group, Rohan, just was like, I don't feel anything, I'm super chill, I don't feel high at all. And then we walked. We, you know, it got late. It must have been like 1:30 in the morning or something, and we were going to leave. And we walked to the elevator, and you know, as we're walking, Rohan's like telling us a story or something. Walks into the elevator, and in India, a lot of the elevators have what we, over there we call a lift man, which is essentially a, you know, person like an elevator operator, because there's so many people in India, so they create jobs for fucking everything. Like, you can go up to vending machines in India sometimes, and there'll be a person near the vending machine who will take your like rupee note and put it into the vending machine and then give you the thing. It's almost like useless.
It's like jobs in a Wes Anderson movie, basically.
Exactly. So Rohan's like talking, you know, saying he's super chill and not high, telling Neil, my friend, a story. And then he walks into the elevator, and I guess he must have in his head thought, like, the elevator operator was kind of the same height as Neil, and I think Rohan was way higher than he thought. Thought the lift man was Neil as he's telling the story, and just starts like puts his hands on his shoulders and starts massaging his shoulders as he's telling the story on this like poor elevator operator. And then sees Neil, he's like, he's talking to him saying, "Neil, da 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 da," and then sees Neil walk into the elevator and immediately realizes what he's done. And that poor lift man guy just like stood facing forward the whole time as he went down 11 stories to the ground floor. It's not my, I mean, it's just like one of those memories that popped in my head when I was like, that's, you know, what a weird guy.
I had stuff like that when I first got high. I remember, I think like sometimes the moment you're like, nah, I'm not high. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the moment where like you either completely come back down to earth or like you end up like following that thought into a daze that like, like makes it very obvious that you're high. I once stood in front of like, Go ahead. I was gonna say I have a memory from high school. One of the first times I got high, we got high and went to the mall, and like I went and like stood in line at like a Rocky Rococo, like a pizza place and a food court, and I was like, I just have this flash memory of like I just was standing there not talking to the person, to the cashier, and like kind of snapped out of it. And they're like, sir, sir, hello. Or, and I don't think they even called me sir. Because I was look like a boy.
So the lift man is not paid to push the button. He's paid to deal with high people like that. He's there to like take the heat off of all service workers are there for high people. Just like have a map through life, you know?
That's yeah. a good point.
Mm-hmm. Same with the cashier.
Any of you have like be on the other end of that where you've like been dealing with or interacting with somebody and then you're like, oh, I think this person is very high?
I'm like that a lot with people because I just assume, like, I have this weird thing where I'm like, oh, they're in the same mental state and ability as me right now. Like, that's like my bait, like my lack of ability to think outside of myself. But like there was a time where, like, especially like early on in like stand up and when I was younger in college and stuff, where I just like wouldn't know that people were like wasted. So I'd be like, no, logically, like this is the thing. And I'd get in these like long ass arguments with people and then they'd like throw up and I'd be like, oh, they're drunk. Like, or, oh, yeah, something else happened. I was just like complete. I was like, where did I just wasted 3 hours?
Two nights ago, I was walking through Franklin Village. And a totally naked man was walking through Franklin Village and not freaked out, like not running, not like, look at me. He was just walking and kind of like, he looked like he was like a tourist. Like he was like kind of looking around and he just walked like right past Birds, UCB, La Poubelle, and was totally naked. And I was like, and people were like, do you think he's okay? I was like, he's not okay, but he like...
Maybe he's more okay than the rest of us.
He could have picked a less busy street. Like there was like this weird moment of like, he's definitely not... like, I don't think he's sober, but I don't know. I don't think he's having like a bad time. Like,
yeah.
And then we were like, what if that is the mutation in between? This is dark, but like COVID making us sick and COVID turning us into zombies. It's like, you just start seeing more and more like it's like the reports of naked people start to go up, just or whatever.
Calmly walking.
Did he have shoes on?
Nothing.
Was he holding anything? Just
walking. And people were like,
that's how I feel when I don't bring water with me. Like freedom.
That's nuts.
It was crazy. And people were like, do you think he's okay? And it was like, he didn't seem to be freaking out. And they're like, should we get him pants? I was like, I think if he was worried about that, he would have went another, like, there are so many.
You got to give him like glow sticks and some fruit, man. Like,
it seemed like a homeless situation or
no? I mean, I don't know.
It's hard to tell without clothes. Like, that's a terrible thing to say, but like,
no, I passed the guy like... who was like not okay earlier, who was like having kind of like a freak out for sure. And then we saw him later but it was like, it was so weird. It was just a like very calm, just walking down the street, kind of like,
Oh, look at, there's the Scientology building.
It was like so bizarre.
That's actually like where he came out of.
That was my first thought, actually. Like, that's definitely a suspect. Drew, what is the culture around weed in India? Like, is it like...
It's not like here. Well, what's interesting about it, I mean, historically, it's where, you know, so close to the origins of weed, and it's still used in like a lot of old, you know, sadhus, like people use it, you know, religious men, mystics and stuff use it as part of their their religious rituals and stuff. Once a year, there's a festival called the Kumbh Mela where people are smoking weed and, you know, doing opium and stuff, but it's still illegal. And recently there was a huge crackdown on like these Bollywood stars for like buying a bunch of weed and shit. So it's illegal, but it's also like people smoke it openly, like especially religious, you know, they're almost like a protected class with it. And I've like definitely been on this. You can buy weed from so many people. I guess hash is more common in Bombay than weed, but mm-hmm. you know, same derivative. So it's not culturally as acceptable, let's say, especially not as California, you know, this is like a paradise for a stoner like me.
but I also like, I heard that it's not as good. Like the accessibility of like good weed is like not as.
It's not, but you can get amazing weed. Like Kashmir has some of the best weed in the world, I think. And so does Tamil, basically the north and
we
south.
We need to
of
save
India.
Kashmir. We need to, I've been saying this.
For so many reasons we do, but especially, I mean, yes. I have a friend who like he would get his weed flown in, but like he had some sort of hookup from like
it was just the elevator guy just bringing him the weed.
So there is amazing weed, but yeah, not Bombay is just yeah the cities. It's not as good obviously because you also get like a little tiny little puck of hash. You know, it's like a tiny little waxy puck that you got to smoke, which is not as fun as like a nice nug that you can sniff. I was thinking about, you know, what you guys were saying, both your story, Josh, of like being high and then, you know, being in front of a different person as now a semi-professional weed person from doing a weed podcast. I feel like I've spent a lot of time formulating kind of theories and thoughts about weed. And one of my theories about weed is a hypothesis I would call like the location change enhancement syndrome, which is that when you're high, you don't really realize you're high until you change locations, and then your high is immediately enhanced. So for example, if you're in a smoke circle, something about being in that same vibration or whatever it is while you're smoking, you can get more high, but you don't know how high you really are. And then when you walk back to the bar or you walk back to, you know, you walk to a cashier at a mall or whatever, then you're like, oh, I'm way higher than I thought. There's something about like being in a different place than where you got high.
I think that's just science. That's definitely true.
Can you press 13, floor 13?
You got it.
And I would like a deep tissue. Thank you.
What's that second part?
A deep tissue massage on the way down.
I can't give you a deep tissue massage. I can push.
I'm sorry. You're the lift man, correct?
That's correct. I'm the lift man.
Okay. I thought this was part of your duties.
To what exactly? Just massages, or you think anything goes? What's
excuse me, sir. This is a professional building. I ordered floor 13 and a deep tissue massage, and you are frankly wasting the time we have in the elevator together.
No, I am not. I can't give you. What do you think is on the menu outside of what I'm saying? Is I can push the floor button. I can adjust the tie for somebody. No, I can give you a little pep talk before an interview. I've got gum. I'm kind of like, you know, like a bathroom attendant, except the bathroom is moving up and down.
That is disgusting, sir. Okay, what kind of establishment is this where the lift man won't give you a good removal of knots? Why? What is this?
I don't know.
Elevator opens. Someone gets in with a Lonely Planet guide opened. Dog-eared Lonely Planet. Okay, this should be right. Are we going down?
Yes, yeah. We're going okay. down.
We're on the 81st floor. We're going down.
Sounds good. Is this one of the places, one of the types of elevators where you get a happy ending or?
Excuse me?
Excuse me?
I don't know.
Does it say that in your Lonely Planet guide? Or you?
Why would you say that in front of a lady?
I I didn't want to not say it in front of a lady. Why would I? I thought I was being progressive in that way. I just was out with it. I would like a release at the end of the expected elevator rub.
There's nothing in this Lonely Planet that mentions happy endings. Whoopsie.
Well, maybe maybe I'm an editor for the Lonely Planet.
I'm sorry.
I'll send in a letter if it is. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I am horrified at what I've said. How unprofessional. You give happy endings, but no massages.
I don't give happy endings. I don't know where that came from. I got mints. I could go as far as a condom or even like a suggestion on how to get rid of a knot. Have you tried like a jacuzzi or like a tennis ball against the wall? That's as far as I can go. Okay.
I am a professional woman. I have business to do. I don't have time to take my massages outside the elevator.
Ding. The elevator doors open on the 73rd floor. Hey.
Hello.
How's it going? Hey guys.
Hello. Oh, hello.
What floor?
Hello.
11 and Fidelio.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Fidelio. You know what I'm saying?
Fidelio.
The password.
Fidelio. Thumbing through. Oh, Fidelio. Oh, Fidelio. I gotta write that in the Lonely Planet.
That's not a thing. Don't write it down. I don't know what he's doing either.
The password, Fidelio. I need you to fuck my wife.
Fidelio.
Sir, I doubt that you are married.
Fidelio.
I'm horrified.
You should be. I apologize for this behavior. I almost feel like I should have given you the massage the way the rest of this is going.
So much tension in my shoulders from these disgusting men.
I'm so sorry. I apologize for that. But clearly I can't say yes to you and then start to discriminate between you and a happy ending and cuckolding that man. Okay.
Okay, a massage is very different than a cuckold. I've always said this.
Oh, well, that's close-minded. Some people like massages.
She's waiting on the 53rd floor, okay? So I thought when she comes along.
Even if that was something I did, I still have my shift. I gotta get her all the way down to the 13th floor. I can't pop off and pop your wife and then get back on. I've got a job to do. She would have to at least come on the elevator, at which point no one else would have to be on the elevator. But I can't do that. I can suggest.
Ding! Hi.
Hello.
Hi, sweetie.
Oh, hi, honey.
Is it happening?
No, it is not happening.
Babe, you promised for our anniversary. This was the one thing I wanted.
I'm trying to make it happen. Apparently, this guy's being a real stick in the mud with the password. He's got some kind of strange, I don't know.
I don't normally work Tuesdays, okay? I covered for my friend, and maybe he's running some side games on here. I don't know, but I specifically push the elevator buttons and will take your money and go get you a candy bar from the vending machine. That is as far as I will go.
Wait, but my copy of The Lonely Planet has your picture in it.
What's that?
But my copy of The Lonely Planet has your picture in it.
Let me see.
You came highly recommended.
Oh.
The doors open again. Fidelio, Fidelio.
Fidelio, Fidelio. Fidelio. No,
Fidelio.
Fidelio, Fidelio.
Fidelio, Fidelio. Better get to fucking our wives. Welcome to Flores, French cuisine. Take a seat. We will start you with some waters, any wine or anything you like.
I'd love a claret if you have one.
Claret, no problem.
Make that too.
Two clarets. Okay, I'll be back. I will introduce you to our staff. This here is Paula. Paula is going to, she'll be helping you digest the food, bringing the spoon.
and the fork to your mouth. And then, of course, she'll be pushing your jaws up and down, punching you in your Adam's apple to help you massage the food down your pipe. And you'll be...
down my pipe? Was that was that the word you used?
Yes, I'm sorry. My English is not okay. Great. But down the pipe, and that is this is Paola's job. Do not feel weirded out by Paola. Okay, I'll be back with your claret. And what was it? What was your order?
Two
clarets.
Two clarets.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Hello. Would you like water?
Yes, please.
Grabbing the back of their heads.
Open a little bit, okay?
Okay.
A little dribble. We'll wipe it out.
Actually, do you have gas?
Gas.
Water. Bubbles with bubbles sparkling.
Sparkling. Yes. Okay. Okay, and then open, and then I massage. Okay, good. Okay, there we go. Would you like me to butter your
Sure.
Okay, let me make something.
Okay.
And what size pieces would you like?
What size?
No, that's Paola's job. I'm so sorry. That's Paola's. I should know from estimating your trachea. Okay, here we go. Open up and relax the jaw. Relax the jaw. And no, let me chew. I do it for you. There you go. Okay. And swallow. Good, no?
Okay, claret for you, sir. And a claret for you. I see you're enjoying the bread.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
Paola will be doing the talking for you.
Yes, they think it's very good.
That's great. I'll just pour a little claret into the cup. Paola, take a sip. Let me know if it's good.
Okay, ready?
And cheers. Oh, I'll take
on,
this.
Let me cheers. Okay,
cheers. Now, take a sip of each. Love you too. Did you say love you?
I said love you. Yeah.
Okay. I love you too. They both sit on opposite sides of the table. Okay. How would you say the date is going so far?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But we need to talk about how you refuse to let me meet your family, right? That's what we need to talk about.
Well, it's not so much a refuse as it is, it's not the time. You have to trust me
what
on this.
What is happening?
Shish. We're having the date for you.
We're
having the argument for you.
When will it be the time?
The time to meet your family?
Time for our family to meet, yeah.
This is ridiculous. My parents were murdered coming out of the opera. I don't... can't meet my parents.
And that is something we are still processing.
Still processing.
When I was a child. We're not...
No, I drink for you.
A manager rushes over. Paolo, I got a table of eight with their mouths full of chowder. What happened? Get over there and massage that chowder. There, we look over.
We see there's another man moving the manager's mouth.
This is the last time I'll tell you that.
Oh dear, we are behind.
We'll be back.
We leave the two to continue their date.
How's your bread? How's your bread?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm allowed to eat more of it or if we gotta wait for them. Look, can I just say something,
yeah.
Bruce? I know you're Batman. Okay. I know you're Batman. You don't have to hide it. Every time you talk about your backstory, I'm like, yeah, your parents were murdered coming out of the opera when you were a kid. You keep disappearing into your fucking billionaire lair. You take me to weird fancy French restaurants where they do all this stuff for you. I know you're fucking Batman.
I don't know what you're talking about. That is crazy. I told you.
You see the bat signal goes off in the sky.
Oh.
Hmm? Great to see you again, Batman. I mean,
who's moving the Joker's mouth?
I think the Penguin.
Excuse me, I had a question. Where's the nonfiction section of this bookstore?
Right over there to your right. Just follow the first little aisle down.
Great. And if you could turn down the AC a little bit in here, it's not great for me.
Naked.
All right. Oh. I'm just getting into Hunter S. Thompson. I was wondering.
Sorry, can you move a little further away from the desk and not stretch while you're talking?
What?
You're doing a lot of stretching, like you're doing a lot of upper body stretching, and you're kind of pushing yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable. I'm just.
We see his wafer thin taint. Oh.
Oh, did I hear? Is something wrong?
Look, I'm a little bit in shock. Okay, I'm just. You walked in here. You're butt naked. You got some weird balls that keep knotting themselves around. You got a wafer thin taint. You got some uneven nipples. It's just, it's a lot for me right now.
Jared, can you come to the back?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Jared, I have told you a number of times, okay? You are incredible with the customers usually. You're always on time. The number one thing, though, the number one complaint I'm getting is body shaming.
Body shaming.
Okay? No more body shaming.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Okay? We are known as, you know, the booksellers that don't body shame.
Yeah.
Okay? So we want to keep that up.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry
Thank
about
you.
That.
One of her tits knocks a pen off the desk. Okay. Is there a problem?
Sorry.
Do you not want me here? Because I'm prepared to buy as many of the Hunter S. Thompson books as I can find. I'm talking. No.
Everyone's welcome at Powell's book. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. So it's right down there. It's you'll find his you'll find all the collections of his journalism and stuff. Just let me help you. Right here, this aisle.
Do you have any self-help books too, by the way? I'm sure you do. You must.
We do. We have a whole self-help section. Just come around with me, just around this corner, right here. So, you know, got everything from sort of meditation, mindfulness stuff, how to change your life, patterns of thinking, all that stuff.
Okay. Do you have anything on taints? My taint is, I don't know when to call attention to it. Good of you not to notice or to mention it, but.
I know. Yeah. I'm not allowed to.
My taint is like an eardrum.
Right. No need to bend over. No need to. Okay.
Look at that. I mean, when I say look at that, I'm asking you to look at the absence of what, of any sort of taint here. And.
Excuse me. Do you have any?
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Wait. Sorry. I'm sorry. I go ahead.
I'm trying to find a taint book because mine is so paper thin and I just haven't been able to handle it.
Oh my God. Did I just see sparks fly in front of my eyes between two taints?
Oh, you too?
Oh my God.
Yes, mine's paper thin.
Oh.
Wow. Weird tits McGillicuddy and paper thin taint man. Really striking a connection with each other. Oh fuck! I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that.
Excuse me, we see a naked premature baby. I've been waiting for help over in the Dave Barry section for quite some time.
Well, I got to tell you this, little baby. when you're reading Dave Barry, because humor is going to be one of your main coping mechanisms for your strange little body.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I got to say it, okay? You guys are all freaks with your dirty, weird, misshapen fucking bodies. I don't care if you're hitting it off with each other because you both have way for thin dates, but it's strange. It's odd. Taints are supposed to be thick and beefy, a clean separation.
Jarrett! Jarrett! You are out of control, Jarrett. Jarrett, I'm going to have to ask you to drop your pants right now.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to have to see your taint. If you're here shaming everybody else, we're going to need to see your taint.
All right.
Jarrett, you have such a thin taint. Why are you lashing out at people?
That's why. I'm so insecure about it. I don't know how to talk to people about it. So
see, that's what I do. Zombies hit the bookstore window. Another guy. Well, you three and your tiny taints are going to be gone first, so I better start making a plan.
Excuse me, do you have any books on refrigeration?
All the zombies fall asleep. All right. Thank you so much for being on the Meet Improv.
Yeah, thank you both. That was really, really fun.
Yeah, thank you guys. So fun.
Taints and zombies, the whole nine. So now we'll go around and we'll plug stuff. You can tell our listeners where they could find you, all that good stuff. Pallavi, let's start with you.
Cool. Find me at Pallavi Ganalan, PallaviGunalan. That's my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter, and my TikTok. I'm never going to die. and I also, if you guys want to join a mailing list to support Black Lives and help with tutoring Black students, hit me up. And then also, if you want to like donate or join the ventilator team, that's respira.works/join/us/donate, but it's respira.works. RESPIRA.
Oh, yep. Cool.
That's awesome. Drew?
Follow me at onlyfans.com/FredTaintMcGillicuddy. No, I'm not, I'm very, very pro OnlyFans, to be clear. I don't know. Follow me on Instagram, Dhruvaday Singh, my full name. Get me to 20K so I can start posing and Fashion Nova and stuff like that. You know, so I can start getting some. Getting
you
some
guys
hot
can't
sponsors.
See it, but his fit is fly.
They can all imagine. Awesome. Jake?
Check out weimprov.org for workshops or twitch.tv/weimprov if you want to watch shows. That's all I got right now.
Cool. I'm at Josh Simpson on everything, Twitter and Instagram, making some videos over at Lazy Susan Comedy on YouTube. And all that's at joshsimpson.biz. So there you go. Great. The Meet is on all the social media platforms, the Meet Improv, or at the Meet Improv. And we have patreon.com/TheMeetImprov where you can get our extra episodes about improv and our Discord channel. So thank you. So much for listening. Everyone, be safe out there. Wear a damn mask. And we'll see you next time on The Meet.
The Meet.
Improv.